Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today. We recognize that the world is changing very quickly, and there's a lot of uncertainty. I guess one thing that we feel so thankful for is that we can still gather together, that we still have this assurance that God is watching over us, and everything is going to be okay. With that in mind, we understand that there are a lot of things that might be happening that people might need some assistance with. So anything that you might want from us or need from us, whether it's prayers or even some physical help, please feel free to contact us. We'll give you a couple different options for doing that. First of all, these are the pastor's extensions. You can just call the church office, and any one of those extensions, those messages come to us via email, so even if we're not in the office, we'll be able to get those messages and we will be able to respond accordingly. Another option is to go on the church website, and through that website you can also contact one of the church secretaries and they will get that information to whoever needs it. Also, you can check in on Facebook. This is where you can also connect with our worship services. It is our goal to keep those worship services going on a regular basis. So that God's people can continue to gather together and worship. And then also, if you are interested in continuing to support the ministry through your giving, there are a couple options there. First of all, online giving. Again, you go onto the website and take a look at that address on the screen. And another option, we continue to use the text to give, and that would work as well for you. We truly appreciate your support, not only financially, but also your prayers for God's church at this time. And finally, just a reminder about a wonderful opportunity we have. Pastor Peter Benitsky is leading us through this journey to the empty tomb, his daily Bible readings and devotions, and you can tune into those every day as well as together we make that journey. God's blessings.
extend a very warm welcome to all of you worshiping today. I am Pastor David Keel. I'll be preaching the sermon, and Pastor Jeffrey Bonach will leading you in your worship of our Savior God. We're continuing our Lenten theme, Undefeated, and today we note and rejoice in the fact that in Jesus' rejection by his very own, we find our acceptance with God.
The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, Most High, to herald your love in the morning, your truth at the close of day. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
God of spirit and truth, you alone satisfy our dry and weary souls. Let us drink from the spring of your mercy.
So that our souls may be quenched, and our thirst for your saving love will be satisfied.
We pray through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our heavenly Father,
we have sinned against you in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace.
By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life.
Amen.
We continue with the psalm. The psalm today is Psalm 32. If you have your hymnals, you can find that on page 78. The words will also be on the screen.
Remember your mercy, O Lord. Remember your mercy and love. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. When I kept silent, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sin. Remember your mercy, O Lord. Remember your mercy and love. are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in Him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Remember your mercy, O Lord. Remember your mercy and
God, our Father, you work all things for the good of those who love you. Be not deaf to our cry for mercy, but rather turn our mourning into joy, that our hearts may sing your praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Passion reading for today comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 26, beginning at verse 57. It is entitled, The Trial Before the High Priest. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. Then they spit on his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you? Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately, the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. This is the word of our God. All we like sheep have gone astray. and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds we are healed. We continue by singing hymn 116, In the Hour of Trial.
By hasty denial I unworthy be. When you see me waver, with a look recall, nor for fear or favor ever let me fall. With forbidden pleasure Gethsemane, or in darker semblance, cross-crowned Calvary. Should your mercy send me sorrow, toil, and woe, or should pain attend me on my path below, and that I may never fail your cross to view, grant that I may ever cast my care on you. When my life is ending, though in pain or grief, when my body changes back to dust again, on your truth relying through that mortal strife, Jesus, take me dying to eternal life.
God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting our sins against us. Amen. The word of God that's before us for my sermon today is the bulk of the portion of the past in history with Pastor Bonach read earlier today. In addition, I'll be reading through the text during the course of the sermon. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God our Father and through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, our Lenten walk with our Savior Jesus to his cross on Calvary continues. We find ourselves one step closer to that time when all the promises of God regarding his promised Messiah would find their fulfillment. In our text today, Matthew records for us one of the most appalling, most piercing, most painful times for our Savior Jesus. God had predicted in the Old Testament that his Messiah, his Christ, his Son, our Savior, would suffer, but whoever would have guessed that that suffering would come from God's own people, from the people whom Jesus had come to seek and to save, especially their spiritual leaders. What a powerful lesson there is in their sad and shocking behavior, for in theirs we see ours. But we also rejoice in that Jesus' treatment of sorrow and suffering and pain and ridicule at the hands of his own people is our victory. We see in our Savior Jesus' rejection by his very own, our acceptance into God's kingdom. And so as we today continue our undefeated Lenten series, I ask you to see your acceptance in Jesus' rejection. Jesus was rejected by those who should have known better. How we need to guard against rejecting our Savior too. Matthew writes, those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of the law and the elders had assembled. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so they could put him to death. But they didn't find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, aren't you going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, I charge you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. You have said so, Jesus replied. But I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? Look, now you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? He is worthy of death, they answered. And they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? It really shouldn't surprise us that when the message of Jesus and his cross is proclaimed, it's often met with hatred and hostility. Jesus predicted as much. But what is surprising, both in our text today and really over the course of the church's history, is that so often the ones who are the most hostile, the most vicious, the most hate-filled toward Jesus are those who should be the first to welcome him and believe in him and love him and trust him and worship him. That's what we see in our text today. We see it, first of all, in Caiaphas, the high priest. This is the man who represents God to the people. This is the man who offers up sacrifices for them and who intercedes for them before God. This is the man who oversees all the ceremonies and sacrifices in the temple, most of which, in one way or the other, are fulfilled in the Messiah, whose sacrifice will pay for the sins of the world. If anyone should know that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of these ceremonies and sacrifices, that Jesus is the long-promised and long-awaited Messiah, it's the high priest. Oh, how Jesus experiences rejection and defeat when he's defeated and rejected by someone who should know better. And then there are the others who sit on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court. These are the experts in the law. So expert, in fact, that they've committed to memory huge sections of the Old Testament verbatim. Shouldn't we expect an outcry from them? But they speak not a word for Jesus. Not a one of them stands up and denounces this mockery of justice, this kangaroo court. They've hardened their hearts against the very messianic promises that they've committed to memory verbatim. Instead, they've filled their hearts with hostility and hatred that just won't go away unless Jesus is put to death. Oh yes, Jesus experiences defeat and rejection when he's rejected and defeated by those who should. should know better. And what has changed today? The gospel is still proclaimed in all of its truth and purity. You and I enjoy religious freedom, religious liberty, where we can worship our God where and when we want. But does that mean that we who call ourselves Christian always put Paul's resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified front and center in our lives? Not at all. Sometimes we look at Jesus and all we see is a great teacher of morality, a fine fellow, a good guy, someone who shows us how to live in a righteous and godly way. Sometimes we question Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus, and convince ourselves that while He's the one who made salvation possible, only if we follow Him and commit our lives to Him and pray to Him and pay for Him and do all the right things and behave properly, then maybe, maybe God will consider us worthy and welcome us into His kingdom. Oh yes, Jesus is still defeated and rejected by those today who should know better. By you. By me. Sad. How tragic. What a word of warning there is for us in this text. As we heard Jesus say to His disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane last week, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Watch and pray, Jesus says. Keep your eyes focused on me and my word. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, he says. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father through me, except through me, he says. And God the Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Peter to write, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. All of this is why Jesus so pointedly says to us, watch out for false prophets. Yes, my friends, how we need to guard against getting stuck into the notion so trendy today that right doctrine, purity of teaching, doesn't really matter. How easy it is for us to question things like Jesus' virgin birth, His incredible miracles, His full and forever payment for our sins, and His glorious and triumphant resurrection from the dead on Easter morning. How often aren't we tempted to consider unimportant teachings of God's Word, like the verbal inspiration of Scripture, that every single word of the Bible has been inspired by God? Infant baptism, the real presence of Jesus' body and blood together with the bread and wine in Holy Communion, the roles of men and women, and church fellowship, all teachings that God has given us to strengthen us in our relationship with Him and to guide us in our relationship with one another. It's so easy for us to think that what we believe and teach is up to us and that the Bible is like some sort of spiritual smorgasbord or buffet line where we can pick and choose whatever fits our fancy at any given moment. Oh yes, how we need to guard against rejecting Jesus. And when we do, recognize that for what it is. It's sin. Repent of that sin and return to God for the assurance of the forgiveness of our sin in Christ. Yes, in Christ. As we watch Jesus being rejected by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, let's see in His rejection our acceptance by God. Let's rejoice that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting our sins against us. Let's resolve that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll always believe and proclaim the whole counsel of God's word. Let's pray that we'll be filled with so much love for Jesus that we willingly take up our cross and follow him, even when we are threatened and rejected by others. For we have his promise that he'll never leave us or forsake us when we stay faithful to him. Be faithful, even to the point of death, he says, and I will give you life as the victor's crown. Fellow redeemed, this is a hard lesson for us to learn. How we need to guard against rejecting Jesus in our own way and in our own day. Jesus went the way of the cross, experiencing rejection at the hands of his own to teach us the lesson of faithfulness, yes. But so much more importantly, to reconcile us to God, to redeem us, to rescue us, to restore us, to forgive us of all of our sins of rejecting him. In him we are truly undefeated. Follow him then to Calvary, to the cross. Be faithful to him who was faithful to you, who lived for you, who suffered for you, who was rejected for you, who died for you. May God grant this to each of you for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, he was born in human likeness. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
We continue now with the prayer of the church.
Lord Jesus, as we in spirit draw closer to your divine appointment with the cross of Calvary, we marvel at the pain and agony that you were willing to bear for us and for our salvation. Our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for your great love that moved you to suffer the ridicule and rejection of your own people in order to save us and all people from the curse and punishment of sin. Lead us to see not only the seriousness of our sin in our rejection of you and your word, but also the sincerity of your resolve that moved you to undergo such suffering and dying. Fill us with your love, that we might rejoice in our salvation, believe only those things that are in accord with your word, and do only those things that are pleasing to you as we reflect your love to those around us. Lord Jesus, you gave yourself for us. We now give ourselves to you. Help us live to the glory and honor of your name. And then, loving Lord, we thank you for all the blessings you showered on Dr. David Kranick, Joanne Kerr's brother, during his life on earth. We praise you especially for calling him to faith in you, so that now he can be restored to the godly perfection that you intended for us all. Comfort all who will miss him with the sweet hope of a happy reunion in heaven. And Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone around the world impacted by this present coronavirus pandemic. With the future so uncertain, our eyes are on you. Bless and deliver us according to your will. Keep us all faithful, even to the point of death, that we too might receive life as our victor's crown. Jesus, we pray in your name, and in your name we also join to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I now invite you to join us as we sing together hymn 121, Jesus Grant That Balm and Healing.
And the glory of your people.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us in worship and God's richest blessings. Have a good day.